Iran, because of the great leadership of the Shah, is an island of stability in one of the more troubled areas of the world.
In the 1970s, Mohammad Reza Pahlavi considered his regime as the most stable government in the chaotic region of the Middle East. His belief was not baseless. He had ruled the country for more than 30 years. Oil revenues of the early 1970s had made it possible for him to have great economic and social prosperity. His relations with all superpowers and countries were ideal, and they had supported him and his government. His secret police, SABAK, had petrified the people inside the country. Iran's army was the most equipped army in the region. All the political figures, even some of his opponents, bowed down to him and kissed his hand and flooded him with admirations and compliments. But the most important sign of the government's stability was the government of Amir Abbas Hoveida's 13 years in power. The king did not consider Hoveida's 13-year presence on top of the executive system of the country as a contradiction to democracy. And he was so daring that he criticized the democracy of his masters and considered the real democracy as the best type of democracy. When power takes the form of dictatorship and the person fails to consider himself responsible for anything or to anyone, it brings about numerous mental and psychological problems. One of these problems is oblivion as a result of omission and censorship in the history. In his 50s, Mohammad Reza had forgotten, or did not want to remember, that he had never had a literally stable government. One of the most important signs of lack of stability in the second Pahlavi government in the 1940s was the constant changes in the cabinet appointed by him. 68% of the 19 prime ministers who took the office in the 37 years of the second Pahlavi government had a term less than 1 year. Even a four-day-old cabinet was appointed, which was overthrown by the rebellion and revolt of the people. The first prime minister of Mohammad Reza Pahlavi's government was Mohammad Ali Farooqi. He took office in September 1941. But in March 1942, he was replaced by Soheili, who resigned in less than 5 months in August of the same year. After that, Ahmad Qawam took office but was dismissed in less than 6 months. In February 1943, and Ali Soheili became the prime minister again. He kept his post as prime minister until the first quarter of 1944, which was a little more than 1 year. The fifth prime minister of Mohammad Reza Pahlavi's government was named Sa'id, a weak and ailing man who complained about everyone. He was also replaced by Sultan Bayat after 8 months in December 1944. Bayat couldn't steer the flooded ship of Mohammad Reza's government for more than 4 months. He said goodbye to politics in April 1945. The seventh prime minister of the king was Ibrahim Hakimi. This Qajari prince became the prime minister for three successive terms of 2, 4, and 6 months. While he was the prime minister, due to the king's orders, Sadrul Ashraf and Ahmad Qawam exchanged this post with him, each of them for a term of 4 months. For Hakimi, who was also called Hakimul Mulk, exchanging the post of prime minister for three successive terms in less than 1 year was really tiresome and ridiculous. Thus, Hakimi, as the 12th prime minister, preferred to spend the rest of his life smoking hookah in his large garden in Qolhak, Tehran. plotting and scheming for the abundant financial supplies in the disorder and confusion of the unstable government was more important than anything else for the king. Abdul Hussein Hajir was the 13th prime minister of the second Pahlavi government from November 1948 till May 1949. He was without doubt a great supporter of Britain. The 14th prime minister of Mohammad Reza Pahlavi was Mohammad Sa'id, to whom the king had given the position for the second time. He lasted 9 months. Ali Mansour was the 15th prime minister from April to July 1950 for a period of 3 months. The significant feature of these people was their affiliation with foreign countries, not their expertise or ability to control the country. Lieutenant General Razmara, who was a member of the army, was chosen as the 16th prime minister from July 1950 to March 1951. He strongly disagreed against the law of nationalizing the oil industry and was killed for his disagreement. Hossein Ala was the 17th prime minister and lasted just 3 months, from March till May 1951. The people's objections brought about a crisis for him, which resulted in his replacement by Mohammad Mossadegh, who was the 18th prime minister. After disagreements and conflicts between the king and Mossadegh, Mohammad Reza Pahlavi issued the command of Ahmad Qawam's return as prime minister. But Ahmad Qawam governed merely 4 days and was dismissed due to the people's religious revolt led by Ayatollah Khashoggi. Dr. Mohammad Mossadegh was in charge of forming the cabinet again and was responsible for the government as the 20th prime minister. The ignominious coup of the Americans in August 18, 1953, an end was put to Mossadegh's government, and the 21st government of the second Pahlavi regime was formed with Lieutenant General Fazlullah Zahedi, the notorious American supporter, as the prime minister. Lieutenant General Fazlullah Zahedi, who was once the minister of Reza Khan's court, wasn't a man of politics. And for that reason, the Americans had used him as pawn, and he accepted the responsibility of leading the bloody and ignominious coup of August 18, 1953. Therefore, he was the reason the Pahlavi dynasty ruled the Iranian people, along with their destinies, for another 25 years in the most unlawful way. Zahedi's being prime minister can be considered as an important factor in the reinforcement and endurance of Americans' presence in Iran. In less than 2 years, Zahedi was forced by the king to resign and left Iran forever. He spent the rest of his life in a villa in Switzerland in dissipation and dissoluteness. Doing so, he paved the way for his commander, Marshal Ardashir Zahedi, to be promoted. Ardashir Zahedi first got married to the king's daughter, Shahnaz, and divorced her after 7 years. But he remained an intimate friend of the king's all his life, and in spite of having an American passport, he was Iran's foreign minister for 6 years and Iran's ambassador in the United States for another 6 years. After Zahedi, Hossein Ala, who was the minister of the court, became the prime minister. At the time of his government, Iran's Organization of Intelligence and Security, which was called SAVAK in short, began to spread political stifling throughout the country instead of their martial command posts. Hossein Ala was once the target of an abortive assassination by Fadaiyan Islam Group. After that, an indecisive and stooge-like person, Dr. Manoocheh Iqbal, became the prime minister. With the help of Ahmad Qawam, Iqbal got a position in Iran's politics. But the most important factor and the reason behind his progress was his relationship with the king's bald-faced sister, Ashraf Pahlavi. After that, it was time for Jafar Sharif Emami to become the prime minister for a short term of 4 months. Ali Amini was the next prime minister. Amini was the grandson of Aminuddin, the chancellor of Muzaffaruddin Shah. Amini's mother was Fakhruddin, daughter of Muzaffaruddin Shah and the sister of Muhammad Ali Shah Qajar. Relying on such a familial background, Ali Amini surrendered himself to the Americans and was the person that John F. Kennedy, the young president of the United States, needed in Iran. After lots of effort in proving that Farmanbari was better than Amini, the king dismissed Amini. Being an opportunist, Amini tried to distinguish himself several times in 1958. He wanted to attract attention toward himself and introduce himself as the problem solver. But he was history, and Iranian people in 1958 were aware enough not to be deceived by such political maneuvers. After Ali Amini, Asadullah Alam, the great feudal in Khorasan province and a companion for the king's dissipations, became the prime minister. It was at that time that the prime minister, the people's revolt in June 4, 1963, turned into a massacre, and Alam was always proud of the crime he had committed against the people. His book, in which he wrote his memories, is obvious evidence about his nature. He always called himself the servant of the king. In April 1978, he was a victim of cancer and died. Therefore, he couldn't witness the sorrowful downfall of his master. Ali Mansour was the next prime minister. He was one of the extremist westernized people who intended to surrender Iran to the United States even faster than Mohammad Reza Pahlavi by establishing institutes of Baha'i people. In the end, Mansour was killed on January the 26, 1965 by the brave people of Iran who took revenge on him. Now it was time for the ever-changing figure of the Pahlavi regime, Amir Abbas Hoveyda. He was the prime minister for more than 13 years and finally created a great predicament for himself, his master and his American supporters. Considering Hoveyda before his becoming the prime minister, it suffices to refer to a report prepared by the security system of Pahlavi regime, Sabak. This report was prepared by the 3rd headquarters of Sabak in March 7, 1964, when Hoveyda was appointed as the Minister of Finance in Hassan Ali Mansour's cabinet.